Radio Corporation of America presents The Magic Key. The Magic Key turns, opening a program of varied entertainment from Buenos Aires, Ottawa, Canada, Chicago, and New York City. Presented for the families of the nation by the members of the family of RCA. This afternoon, we are to hear Mr. Richard Barthelmess and Miss Jean Muir in a scene from a Pulitzer Prize play. Members of the cast of George Gershwin's Porgy and Bess in a portion of the score of the opera. John B. Kennedy in a special current events feature, which will include a greeting to the American radio audience from the Honorable J.D. Gardner, Canadian Minister of Agriculture, Eddie Duchin and his famous orchestra, Eduardo Donato and his tango ensemble, and the NBC Symphony Orchestra under the direction of Frank Black, playing first Molly on the Shore, a traditional Irish air adapted by Percy Grainger. Within the memory of men now living, the speediest communication between New York and Buenos Aires consumed 27 days. Today, we will make the journey in so many seconds through the facilities of RCA Communications. Each Sunday, this unit of the family of RCA combines with RCA Victor, the RCA Institute, Radio Marine, RCA Radiotron, and the National Broadcasting Company to offer these broadcasts for your interest and pleasure. Our entertainment from Buenos Aires will be provided by Eduardo Donato, prominent young composer whose orchestra enjoys a unique and well-merited popularity in Argentina. The magic key of RCA turns to Buenos Aires and the enchanting rhythms of Eduardo Donato.
Thank you. Sinatra and his voice from Buenos Aires. The Magic Key returns to Radio City, New York.
The morning following the premiere of George Gershwin's American folk opera, Porgy and Bess, dramatic and musical critics of the Metropolitan papers burst into a paean of praise. Gershwin has previously written nothing even remotely approaching the choral passages in this work, the music of anguish and supplication and despair and fate, said one commentator. And another added, Porgy and Bess stands for something significant in the American theater. The folk opera at the Alvin was born, not made. Porgy and Bess is superb, a modern masterpiece. The verdict of subsequent audiences has confirmed that of the professional first nighters, placing Mr. Gershwin's treatment of the Bose Haywood's legend of a Negro community at the head of the list of current musical events. And Todd Duncan, the young professor from Howard University who sings the title role, became overnight a personality in the world of music. This afternoon, the Magic Key of RCA turns to the score by George Gershwin and the voices of Todd Duncan, Anne Brown, Abby Mitchell, and the Eva Jessie Choir to bring you an impression of Porgy and Bess.
Catfish Row, in Charleston, South Carolina, an isolated Negro section, which is in effect a private and primitive racial world, a world untouched by the white civilization surrounding it. Picturesque and sharply etched are the colored inhabitants of the street. Fortnite, the peddler of happy dust. Porgy, the cripple whose affliction has given him strength and understanding. The violent and brutal Crown. And Bess, who is his woman. Then, too, there is Clara, wife of Jake the fisherman, who sings to her baby as the afternoon sun bathes Catfish Row in warm, mellow light because it's summertime and the living is easy.
Living goes on in Patrick Row. And with the passage of time comes change. Because he killed a man in a gambling brawl, Crown, the bully, has fled to the Palmetto Swamp. And a new peace has settled on the little Negro community. Bess, turning to Porgy for refuge after Crown's violent departure, learns the meaning of love. And Porgy,
heart filled with happiness, pours out his philosophy in song.
Plenty of not earn, and not in plenty for me. I got no car, I got no mule, I got no misery. So put with plenty of plenty, got a lock on the door. Afraid somebody's going to rob him while he's out, I'm making more. What more? Got no lock on my door, that's the way to be. They can steal the rug from the floor, that's okay with me. From the things that I buy, like the cars and the types full of bees. Oh, I've got plenty and nothing plenty for me. I got my gal, I got my lord, got him the whole day long. Oh, there's no use complaining. I got my girl, I got my lord, I got my song.
He ain't cross-rich ever no more. And ain't you hear how he is back all the time singing in the room?
Not earned, and nothing plenty for me. I got the sun, I got the moon, I got the deep blue sea. The folks with plenty of plenty, got a lock on the door. Deep with plenty, you sure got to worry how to keep the devil away. Till the time arrives. Never worry long as I'm well. Never want to fight to be good, to be bad. What the hell? I'm glad I'm alive. Oh, I've got plenty and nothing. And nothing plenty for me. I got my gal, I got my lord, but him all along. Oh, there's no use complaining. Got my girl, I got my lord, got my home.
Love theme is dominant now in the lives of Porgy and Bess, in the development of the opera, among the dwellers in Catfish Row. Today there is to be a picnic on a nearby island, and Bess will go, leaving Porgy to wait for her. It will be the beginning of misfortune. Disaster lies ahead, and the shadow of death. But all unknowing, Porgy and Bess make their avowals of love.
And sing and
No one outside New York City will see Foggy and Bess for many months. But RCA Victor has made it possible for everyone in every corner of the country to hear its most fascinating moments. Much of the music to which you have just listened, together with several other melodies from the opera, have been recorded on four unusual Victor Red Seal records. Produced under the personal supervision of George Gershwin, these records present the distinguished Victor stars Lawrence Tibbett and Helen Jepsen in the principal roles of Porgy and Bess. Played on one of the new RCA Victor Magic Brain radio phonograph combinations, the effect is that of having these great artists performing in the same room. RCA Victor Magic Brain radios are equipped with the Magic Eye plus metal tubes, the greatest advance in radio tube design in 28 years. Stop in at your dealers and be convinced that these new radio sets are the ultimate in clear tone and worldwide reception. The magic key of RCA turns to the suave syncopation of one of America's most brilliant young orchestra leaders. Beginning modestly as the idol of Boston and the Back Bay social set, Eddie Duchin has widened the scope of his influence until his imitators are legion and his admirers constitute a large majority of the inhabitants of the North American continent. For his first group of numbers this afternoon, Eddie Duchin selects the popular hit No Other One, and from the score of Top Hat, the romantic Isn't This a Lovely Day. The Magic Key, opening a world of entertainment, presented for your pleasure and interest by members of the family of RCA, co-workers in the field of radio. Under the baton of Frank Black, musical director of the National Broadcasting Company, the NBC Symphony Orchestra continues with Huldigung's March from the suite Sigur Gjorsalfa by Edvard Grieg. Several years ago, the pictures Broken Blossoms and Way Down East made young Richard Barthelmess, still in his teens, a star of silent pictures. Today, with RCA photophone equipment installed in leading theaters everywhere, the silent films have slipped into the past. But the name Richard Barthelmess, emblazoned on theater marquees from coast to coast, is still drawing patrons to the box office. Because he has advanced conscientiously every step of the way from boy actor to leading man, because each new picture furnished fresh proof of his ability to portray character vividly and sympathetically, his popularity with American audiences continues undiminished. This afternoon, Mr. Barthelmess makes one of his rare microphone appearances. Through the courtesy of Warner Brothers, it is also our pleasure to welcome the charming and delightful young actress, Jean Muir, whose latest picture was Midsummer Night's Dream. The vehicle which Mr. Barthelmess and Miss Muir have selected is a portion of Maxwell Anderson's Pulitzer Prize drama, Saturday's Children, and Mr. Barthelmess will himself describe the circumstances of the scene. The magic key of RCA turns to Richard Barthelmess and Jean Muir.
The proverb says, Saturday's children must work for a living. Barbara Halliday was a Saturday's child, and she worked in the same office with Rims O'Neill until they were married. She is private secretary to the proprietor, Mr. Mangle. Then so it seemed to Rims it was wrong for his wife to be a snob to the boss, so they took the little house, determined to run it on one salary. They were supremely happy some of the time, but money troubles constantly harassed them. There were, besides, a host of petty details like pipe cleaners and relatives, meals and dishes, until suddenly it was too much, and in modern fashion they both walked out on each other and the little house. And now, 3 weeks later, Bobby has gone back to her old job with Mr. Mangle and is living, not very happily, in a cheap little rooming house run by the insistently respectable Mrs. Gorlick. Suddenly, in the doorway, Rims appears.
Rims!
I guess you didn't want me to find you.
Well, I don't mind.
Well, I'll tell you about that first, so you'll know how it happened. I didn't ask anybody where your room was. I followed you home last night.
Followed you? I had dinner with Mr. Mangle.
I know you did. Oh, gee, kid, I've been out of my head. I hung around the office last night to see you. And who did you come out with?
You waited at the office?
Yes.
I didn't see you.
And then he came home with you. He even stayed around a while.
I was just lonely.
He didn't look very lonely to me. I can't stand that. After all, you are my wife.
Oh, that was why you came.
No, it wasn't.
Then what was it?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
That's just what does matter.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
I don't know.
Well, you might have a chair.
Thanks.
You have a new job on here.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Oh, jobs are all pretty much alike.
What business is it?
Automatic mooring, isn't it?
Oh. Are there many of them new?
You'd be surprised. Same salary.
Why, that's marvelous, Rims. To change jobs and get the same salary the first thing. It's marvelous.
Yeah. Not a very nice place here, is it?
It's inexpensive.
It ought to be.
You don't like it?
Well, you're here, of course.
Thanks, Jim.
Oh, say, Bobby. Are you really as hard-hearted as all this kind of implies?
When was I ever hard-hearted?
Well, you know, I came over here all primed to say something, and I'm darned if I know how to say it.
What was it?
Well, I came to ask you if you hadn't had enough of it, and if maybe you wouldn't come home now.
Back to the house?
Where else?
Come in.
There's a package just sent to you, Miss Halliday.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Gorlick. It's from Mr. Mangle.
You're welcome, I'm sure.
From Mangle? So he's sending you flowers now, huh? Well, you better open it.
I don't want to.
Sure, open it. Why ruin the flowers? Just on my account.
It isn't flowers. Really something from Mrs. Gorlick.
It's a bolt.
Oh, yes, for the door.
And a hammer and a screwdriver to put it on with. Say, what's the idea?
Well, he said he was going to send me a boat. I thought he was joking. You see, when Mangle was here last night, Mrs. Gorlick, the landlady, seemed to think he was a shady character and kept opening the door all the time.
Hey, wait a minute. Let me get this straight.
I suppose you thought it would be funny.
Funny?
I really did want a boat.
Yeah, go right ahead and explain. You're making it better all the time.
You mean you think I haven't any right to let Mr. Mangle send me a boat to my door?
Well, it looks darn funny to me. It is darn funny.
Certainly it's funny. That's why he did it. Don't you see?
Do I see? I'll say I see. I'd better get out of here.
Rim, if you go now, it's the last you'll see of me, as long as you live.
Well, if you don't know enough to keep care of Mangle, you shouldn't be at large.
That's just the point. I do know enough. Only I'm on my own now, and I'm going to use my own judgment.
Such as it is.
Exactly, such as it is. I'm a free agent, just as free as you are.
Oh, Bobby, don't you care about me anymore?
Yes, I do.
Well, it's all right about Mingle. Only any time you want a bolt on your door, I wish you'd ask me.
I will. If you're around.
You know darn well I'll be around. Oh, listen, kid. I think we're going to have a showdown right here and now. A fellow gives up a lot when he gets married. As long as he's single, he owns the earth. But when he's married, his money's not his own. He's got to keep on working, whether he wants to or not, and there's hell to pay any time he spends an extra dime. Oh, but honest, nobody ever loved anybody the way I love you. I'm just silly about you. I can't stand being away from you all the time. And about that house, it isn't bad for a little house as houses go.
Any house is bad enough. You see, I wonder if I can tell you. You know what I think a love affair is, Jim. It's when the whole world is trying to keep two people apart, and they insist on being together. When they get married, the whole world pushes them together, so they fly apart. I don't want a house. I don't want a husband.
Huh?
I want a lover.
Oh, well. That lets me out.
Does it, dear?
You'll have to leave the door open with gentlemen callers.
Oh. Yes, Rins, I forgot to tell you. The door should be open.
Of course, I understand the gentleman last night was your boss. The old one was your father. I dare say this one's your husband.
Oh, no, no.
Well, and then the door stays open. 10 o'clock. Well, you know, there's no gentleman callers allowed after 10 o'clock.
Mr. O'Neill was just going.
Yes, the gentlemen were always just going. 10 o'clock.
I guess you'll have to go, then.
All right.
Good night, dear.
So we're not married anymore?
No.
Well. All right.
Now we're really free.
I said all right. I don't give a hoop about that.
What do you give a hoop about?
About you, you little fool. Can't you see it? Don't you see? I can't get along without you.
Well,
and the house is standing there waiting for us.
It'll just have to wait, then. I got you into it in the first place, and you didn't like it, and I didn't like it. Now, thank God, we're out of it.
Well, I don't know what you want.
I don't either. I only know what I don't want.
All right, Bobby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Have all the gentlemen gone?
Yes, Mrs. Gorlick. I'm sorry that all the gentlemen have gone.
Just seeing for myself. If you try any tricks. I try to
run. I know. A respectable house.
Huh.
Open the window.
Wait till I close it. Now, where the devil is that bolt? Mm-hmm. Now, bring me that screwdriver, will you, dear?
Yeah, darling.
I'm going to put that bolt on the door.
The magic key of RCA turns from the dramatic artistry of Richard Barthelmess and Gene Muir to the music of Eddie Duchin and his famous orchestra. Eddie Duchin recalls two of his latest Victor recordings as he plays You Are My Lucky Star and I've Got a Feeling You're Foolin', both from the picture Broadway Melody. Thank you. Colorful International Livestock Show, held annually in Chicago, is to international agriculture what the World Series is to Big League Baseball. Today, as this important exhibit is celebrating its opening at the Chicago Stockyards, a keenly interested observer is our celebrated news commentator of the National Broadcasting Company, John B. Kennedy. Equipped with portable microphone and a lively curiosity, he will make us radio witnesses of today's big event in the Midwest metropolis. The Magic Key turns to John B. Kennedy, speaking from the world-famous stockyards in Chicago.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're at the 36th International Livestock Exposition under the shining dome of Chicago's new International Amphitheater. Crowds from all over the country gaze upon the world's best-bred livestock, valued at $5 million. Miles of stalls of fatted oxen, huge square-rigged animals, and rows of magnificent horses, drafters of all the breeds. 10 upon 10 of heifers, of sheep, some in overcoats, some with ringlet bangs down their foreheads, like modest old mid-Victorian spinsters. Wethers mildly bleating beside lordly rams with spiral biblical horns. Electric feed trucks fill the place with a warm odor of fresh milled grain. I just finished a huge steak dinner myself at the Saddle and Sirloin Club. Perhaps from a near relative of one of these bees. So huge a meal that when I entered the show ring, somebody said to me, "Who's showing you? Here are the finest animal products of American and Canadian agriculture." Remember, Canada won a great many prizes here last year and hopes to win more this year, which seems to me as good a cue as any to introduce a great neighbor, the Honorable James G. Gardiner, Minister of Agriculture for Canada. The Magic Key takes you to Ottawa.
I appreciate this opportunity to extend greetings to the livestock interests of the American continent. I do so as the representative of agriculture in the government of Canada. Civilization as organized could not exist without a highly developed agriculture. The systematic production of fibrous plants, fruits, vegetables, grain, and livestock, together with the proper servicing and distribution of the product, is essential to the maintenance of a well-balanced and peaceful society. The Chicago International Stock Show is from year to year benefiting agriculture economically through increasing the production obtained from a given effort by improving the breeds. If no other benefit were to come from the show, we in Canada would appreciate its importance and value our participation in it. But this show benefits these two countries to an even greater extent by bringing together representative stockmen in a common effort, thus making possible greater and greater cooperation toward the solution of one of the world's greatest problems, namely the feeding and clothing of its people. I hope the show is a great success.
Thank you, Mr. Gardiner. Radio has put the American farm on the crossroads of the world, and you can see and hear that reflected in the eager faces of thousands of farmers here. Exhibitors from the Prince of Wales and millionaires, foreign and domestic, to obscure farm lads from the Corn Belt, all showing the best beef they could raise. Let's take a look at the blue-blooded Angus Shorthorns with ample brown bodies and fleecy white muzzles from the Prince of Wales' ranch at High River, Alberta. These bulls are so Scottish that they even bellow with a brogue. Here's Charlie Yule, herdsman in charge of the Prince of Wales' entrance for the World Championship. Charlie, which one of these three beauties does the Prince expect to win the grand prize?
Well, I don't know, but we'd be very pleased to win as we have a very fine bull here.
How many like them as the Prince of Wales got on his 4,000-acre ranch up in Alberta?
175 head.
Well, if the Prince didn't win a prize last year, Charlie, here's hoping he has better luck this time. May the best bull win.
Wait a minute. We didn't win the grand here, but we won first and second prizes.
Thank you, Charlie. The Prince is a good sport to come back to try for a prize again.
Hooray! Hooray!
What's that sound, gentle listener? That's a hog caller on his top note. And here are hundreds of hogs. They're sleek and bristly, sharp snout and blunt snout. One huge bull cheer. A real country gentleman, by sneering at a neighboring Duroc, as if to say, well, who did you ever lick? And here are sleek, hairless, curly-tailed pink pigs. The three little pigs, all grown up and no longer afraid of the big bad wolf. Professor John Fargo of the University of Wisconsin is an expert on ham and hogs. I'm just a hick in reverse from the big city, Mr. Fargo. To tell these hogs apart, I simply couldn't do it. They all look alike. How do you tell the difference?
It depends on how they vary in length, depth, and thickness.
Where are the pork chops on this big fellow here?
Well, now, where do you think they are? I'll show you on this pig. They're here between the hips and the shoulders. And look at those hams, thick and juicy.
Yes, I wonder. How much does that hog weigh?
About 300 pounds.
And how much of that can we eat?
220 pounds.
And what happens to the rest of the hog?
They use that for many different purposes.
Oh, I see. On the old stockyard principle that they use all of the hog but the squeal.
Yes, we use even the squeal nowadays over the radio.
Thank you very much, Professor Fargo. I saw a dour and dependable Scotch judge look over 1,500 beautiful beef animals, perfect Shorthorns Angus, brought to the show by American youngsters, sectional prize winners, and members of the 4-H's, an agricultural organization meaning health, happiness, heart, and hands. These animals all were well cared for, their hides shining, even their hair from head to tail mopped, nicely marcelled. Why, they've even got a bath for bulls up here. Miss Marjorie Fry, 18-year-old beauty from Peoria, Illinois, who would make as big a hit in Hollywood as here, she's won several prizes with two beautiful black steers. Marjorie, tell us, how long have you fed those steers?
Oh, I got them a year ago when they were just tiny calves.
Are you going to be a livestock raiser from now on, Marjorie?
Well, until I get the money I need for something else.
And what might be the something else, Marjorie?
A college course in dramatics and journalism.
Good luck to you, Marjorie. Here's a raiser of champions, folks. 14-year-old Vincent Baker of Edmond, Wisconsin, with his Hercules Marshal. Hercules won the junior championship, and now he's crowned king of all the cows.
Wait a minute. Hercules isn't a cow, it's a steer.
Oh, I'm sorry, Vincent. How long did you rear Hercules?
I paid $30 for him when he was 2 months old, a year ago.
And now he's worth his weight in steak?
I hope so. Anyhow, I'm glad I won.
Yes, and Hercules may go through to take a grand prize.
Well, a boy from these parts won the grand prize last year.
You don't say so. Get Hercules to say something to the radio audience, Vincent.
Okay.
Why, Vincent says Hercules is too modest. He won't talk when he wants him to.
He bellows when I don't want him to.
Well, he has a right to be temperamental. A champion can afford to be temperamental. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, with these thousands of youngsters, our American farmers of tomorrow, and this grand panorama of American agriculture at its very top, here more than anywhere I have ever been, is the flavor and force of a great country. The magic key turns to take you to New York.
From Radio City, Frank Black leads the NBC Symphony Orchestra in Los Toros from the Lafayette Suite by Lacombe.
Thank you.
members of the family of RCA are eager to help make your Christmas holidays happy ones. Will there be an RCA Victor in your home this Christmas? There can be, for RCA Victor manufactures radios and radio phonographs for every purse and purpose, and they can be purchased on an easy payment plan. Write to RCA Victor for a beautiful 24-page catalog showing all of the RCA Victor instruments in full color. It will help you choose the instrument you want in your home on Christmas morning. For an RCA Victor is the gift that keeps on giving. If you have friends at sea, a Christmas message via Radio Marine will cheer them on their journey. To your friends in the United States or any one of the 47 foreign countries of the world, RCA Communications will be glad to deliver your Christmas greetings. Radio technicians will put your radio set in good working order so that you may better enjoy the Christmas radio program. The National Broadcasting Company is planning a number of special Christmas programs for your entertainment. We cordially invite you to be with us next Sunday when the magic key turns again and members of the family of RCA will present Leopold Stokowski and the Philadelphia Orchestra in a distinguished musical program of a special interest. Milton Cross speaking for one of the members of the family of RCA, the National Broadcasting Company.